Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right. What's up, everybody? Long time no see, right? Hey, isn't that such an incredible story, incredible song? And it's a message for us today, man. Like, because here's the deal. Let's be honest. Like Jordan was saying, for whatever reason, a part of our journey is suffering. Like, it's just one of those things that happens. If you haven't experienced it yet, you will. And so you need to be reminded on the front end. You need to know going into it that God is with you, that God is for you. And if he's for you, who can stand against you? And if he's on your side, that there's nothing that you face in this world that can overcome you, right? Even death for us is not the end of the story. In many ways, it's just the beginning. And so it's such a timely and powerful reminder that there is another in the fire. I feel like I should just cancel everything that I was going to say and just talk about Daniel chapter 3. And we could talk about having, since we're doing a series on the heart, having a heart that won't bow, right? Because I think this is what happens in the world that we live in, right? It's a constant pressure to become someone other than who you are. Right, other than who God created you to be, you feel all of this pressure to look a certain way, act a certain way, achieve certain things. In fact, even from a very young age, we try to change children to not be who they are. Like, we don't want you to act like this. We don't want you to be this creative person that you are. We want you to be structured and rigid and fit into all of our boxes. And then you get into high school and they try to make you commit to what it is that you're going to do for the rest of your life when you're 16 years old. I mean, I barely knew how to tie my shoes at 16, let's be honest, right? Although I knew everything all at the same time. And so it's just crazy. And so my point is, man, I probably should stop, or we're really going to get going on this thing. But having a heart that doesn't bow, like, I am who I am because this is who God has made me, and it doesn't matter what your opinion of me is, and it doesn't matter what you think I should do with my life, and it doesn't matter, you know, what everybody else is doing, because we live in a world of persuasion, right? When influence is and culture is and society is this, then we think that we have to be that too, and that's not who you are. Who you are is who God has made you to be, and that's the path that we need to pursue. So that's the heart of that matter. Moving on. We're doing a series called The Heart of the Matter, and you've probably heard at some point in your life that the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. The heart of the matter, the most important thing, is the matter of the heart. Our heart, what happens inside of us on a physical level, right? We understand this. We live in a world that emphasizes heart health. Do y'all remember this? We talked about this last week, how Cheerios a few years ago changed their marketing from, hey, this is a delicious, yummy cereal, to, hey, you're getting older now and you probably should consider your heart health. And at that point, I was like, I'm done with you. I'm over it. It's Cheerios, Cheerio. Right? So we live. That was good. Sometimes it happens. Most of the time, it's accidental. And so we live in a world that emphasizes physical heart health, but what about our spiritual heart? What about the part of us that kind of, at the end of the day, it charts the course for the rest of our life? It dictates our attitudes, our emotions, our responses to the things that happen in our lives and around us. And so kind of when you think about why this is so important, it's important because of what else it affects. Everything. Right? It affects everything, like every aspect of your life, every component of your life, every relationship in your life. It affects everything. In fact, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says it like this: above all else, could it be any more clear, right? Hey, this is the most important thing you can do. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This is important. This stuff matters. Our spiritual heart health is important. What we allow to get into our heart ultimately gets out into our lives, and it affects everything that we do, every action that we take, every relationship that we're in. It affects everything. Somebody say, everything. And so last week, we kind of kicked the series. That was good, y'all. Appreciate that. Last week, we kicked it off, and we talked about a spiritual condition that we're all predisposed to called hard heart-itis. Do y'all remember that? That is a bona fide condition. No, it's not. It's fake. I made it up. But it's real, right? It's true that the effects of it are the same regardless if I made it up or not. And we talked about, basically, it's really simple, having a heart that's soft, moldable, pliable. And here's the difference between a soft heart and a hard heart. A soft heart listens to and responds to what God leads it to do. A hard heart kind of shuts off that leading, that prompting, and the voice of God. That's the easiest way to understand the difference between a hard heart and a soft heart. And so our goal is to have a soft heart, right? A heart that listens to God, that responds when he leads us. And so if that's the goal, if we're supposed to respond, then I think we need to know what it is that we're supposed to respond to. Wouldn't that seem to make sense to you, right? It just kind of logically and naturally flows. And so believing that we're supposed to have a heart that responds, we need to know what we're supposed to be responding to. And so we're going to call this the heart. If you look at it, y'all see that here is in heart? Isn't that cool, right? So what we respond to is what we hear, right? We respond to what we hear. If we want to have a soft heart, we want to have a heart that honors God, then what we hear is what we respond to. So we need to be very confident that what we're hearing are the right things. Because let's simplify this. It cannot get any simpler than this. What you hear gets into your heart. What you hear gets into your heart. So our first point for the day is this. I said, you heard me. How many parents do we have in the room? Yeah, celebrate the parents. All right, good. One of you celebrated the parents. Parents are awesome. So as a parent, you know the difference. There is a distinct delineation between listening and hearing, right? Sometimes they hear you, but they ain't hearing you, right? I mean, my son, is Tavian in here? Okay, good. He is the world's worst. He can't hear anything until he hears things that he's not supposed to hear. He could be four rooms away with 2x6 walls, double insulated, it doesn't even matter. It could be a padded room that's soundproof, and he can't hear anything when you're right in his face, but when you're six rooms away talking about him, he's like, "Oh, what? Huh?" And he's like, he hears everything. And so listening and hearing are two different things. Sometimes I think we hear, but we don't listen because we don't respond. And that's the difference between the two. So the first point is, you heard me. You heard me. In order to have a heart that responds, we have to have a heart that hears. What you hear determines what's in your heart. What you hear determines what's in your heart. What you hear determines what's in your heart. Right? Now, here's the thing. So we started with above all else. Hey, this is really, really, really significant. And we believe that heart health, having a heart that honors God, is really, really important. And if we know that what we hear determines what's in our heart, isn't what we hear really important also? Then why are we listening to so much stupid stuff? Why are we listening to all of these wrong voices that tell us to make all of these wrong choices, right? Why do we allow people to have our ear that have no business having our ear? People that don't care about us are the people that we listen to, and we turn off the people that actually care about us, that want to see us succeed and want to see us become the people that God has called us to become. That was a question, right? If you want to answer no, I'm just kidding, I'm kidding, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. So if our goal is heart health, and I think that it is, right? You're here, you're obviously making steps towards that end. So what we need to do is we need to be hearing the right things, hearing things that lead us to become the kind of people that God wants us to be. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It's funny because it's kind of nestled in some of these other really, really well-known verses. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 is part of the Romans road to salvation. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And this is really, really good stuff. But just a little bit further down in chapter 10, verse 17, it says this. It says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let me explain kind of my thoughts on this, and maybe if you're a theologian, we can disagree and you'll be right, and that's cool. But my thoughts on this, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so let's kind of look big picture here. Our heart is, our goal is to have a heart of faith, a heart that trusts God, that responds to him, because isn't that what faith is? It's like, hey, I don't necessarily understand what you're calling me to do, but I'm going to follow you anyway. And I don't necessarily have all of the details. You know, again, faith is a staircase, but we don't see the whole staircase. We just see the next step. And so I'm going to choose to follow you, even if I don't necessarily understand all of this. And so that's our goal, is to have a heart of faith. And faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. It's God's word that he speaks to us. Now, the word, that's interesting, right? The word is actually, we have two different words, two different ways of translating this, and I won't spend too much time on this. How many of you are nerds and you like kind of knowing context and Greek and all that good stuff? So there's two words that we have for the word. It's logos or logos, people pronounce it differently. I'm going to go with logos because I'm from East Texas, okay? And the other one is rhema. So you've got logos and rhema. So when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the word is logos. It's God's word that he has written down for us. We have scripture to go back to, and we need to know it, and we need to know how it defines us and what it expects of us. And again, at the end of the day, this is, like, can we just be honest? Yeah. I'm going to lean in just a little bit for this one. So many people know God's word, but so few people do God's word. Right? And here's what our objective is, what we should strive toward is not just to be hearers of God's word, but to be doers of God's word. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, right? But we're pursuing that life. We're pursuing a life that honors God because we're trying, the best that we can possibly be to be obedient. So the first part is the word logos. And it's kind of cool because it's the word that we get our American English word, logic. Right? That makes sense. And when you start looking at the plan that God has for your life, although there are a lot of things that don't make sense, much of it does make sense. It's like, oh, love your neighbor. That makes sense, right? Treat people how you want to be treated. All these spinoffs that we have from it. And so you find that it's very logical. And so that's the first word is logos. But the second word is the word rhema. And it's God's spoken word to us. And what I think happens in the life, what should be happening in the life of every Christian, every person who follows Jesus, is that on a very regular basis, and I don't think we can put time constraints on this, but I think God is speaking to every single one of us in a very unique way every single day. Every single day. Now, the question is, are you listening? Are you hearing like your children, or are you listening? Right? I think so many times God speaks to us and we're so busy, we're so distracted, we're so hard-hearted that we don't listen to what it is that he has to say. Now, we're not weird. We're not that kind of church. The snakes are not coming in. I don't think that God, he doesn't
rain down from heaven with voices of wisdom.
Now, do I wish that he would? I don't know, man. Just imagine, you're dead asleep, 3:00 in the morning.
Shelly.
What about everybody else? Everybody's like, dear God, right? Terrifying. I don't know that we would like that, right? But this is how God does speak to us. Sometimes it's just this nudge. Have you ever had a nudge? Sometimes it's an encouragement from somebody that you've never even met. Sometimes it's this inspiration, and this happens a lot to me, and I don't know why, I can't explain it, but obviously it's God knows how to deal with me, right? I get inspired. I get so, man, yes, something needs to be done about that. And that's how Motion Church came into being, right? I mean, it was just this inspiration. Man, there's a problem. There's a gap. There's something that needs to be done. And I think there's a problem, but I don't want to be the one to bring the solution. Somebody else needs to do something about that. Somebody else needs to do something about that. And over, it was just this inspiration. Hey. And if you hear it over and over and you keep saying that somebody else needs to do it, could it be that you're the one that's supposed to do it? Right? And so God calls us. He speaks to us. It's a nudge. It's an encouragement. Sometimes it's a correction. Sometimes it's a pause. Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't pursue that relationship. Sometimes people, again, that we've never even met, call things out in our life that we didn't even know were there. Right? Sometimes people have to see things in us that we don't even see in ourselves. And when they speak to it, really, in many ways, it's just God speaking to us. But are you listening? Okay. I won't do that. Our job, however God speaks to you, like, and he does. If you don't think that he does, that's a you problem, not a God problem, right? You read all through scripture, God communicates with us. In fact, just think about our anatomy for a minute. We have two ears and one mouth. Do you think we're built to hear? Right? I think we're built to hear. We're created to hear, and God's speaking, so it's our responsibility to listen. So however it is that he speaks to you, make sure that you're listening. When we do listen, when we have a heart that's kind of leaning into what it is that he has to say, God has this really unique way of growing us, correcting us at times, and stretching us to do things that we would never have the faith to stretch out and do on our own. And it's an incredible, it's scary sometimes, but what an incredible way to live your life. And so if we're being honest, like, this is a little more challenging in practice than it is in theory, right? You have so many people who write books on how to do things that they themselves have never done. They've got these theoretical warriors, but people who actually do it don't ever get any credit for the one. You guys, y'all get frustrated with stuff like this. I'm like, why are you gonna write a book about something you ain't ever done, homie? Leave me alone. I ain't got time to read your stupid words. But that's just me, right? Those are just my feelings. So knowing that it's a little more difficult in practice than it is in theory, let's be honest. If you're anything like me, you've had times where you were mostly sure that God spoke to you in a different way, right? Maybe the nudge, maybe it was the whisper, maybe it was a pause, maybe whatever it was, you were mostly sure, but then you're like, did he really, would he really, could he really use somebody like me? Has anybody else ever struggled with that? Now, here's what happens. Most of the time, a lot of the times, we're kind of sure, but we're not sure enough to actually take some action. Now, let me help you out here. Let me share with you some things that I've learned. Here's a little bit of advice from an old person, right? God isn't going to ask you to do anything that isn't in his nature, right? If we believe that God is love, like it says in 1 John, that God is love, then he's not going to ask you to do something that's hateful, right? God's not going to ask you to do anything that contradicts who he is. So if you feel that God spoke to you, you feel this impression, you feel this inspiration to do something that's good, that reflects him in the world that you live in, that adds value to other people, that serves other people, do it anyway. Like, even if you're not sure, wouldn't you rather err on the side of doing good than doing nothing? Isn't that a different, it's just a different way, because this is the way that we like to live. Well, I want to be sure that God spoke to me because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to not do what he told me to do. So we do nothing most of the time. Now, I am almost positive that God would be like, you know what? That's not exactly what I asked you to do, but you did a really good thing. It's like, you know, your kids, if they clean the kitchen and you told them to clean their bedroom. Like, that's cool. Now go clean your bedroom. That's awesome that you cleaned the kitchen. I'm so thankful. Way to go. Now go do the rest, right? He's not going to be mad that you did the wrong, that you did the right thing, maybe in the wrong way. God is absolutely, in my opinion, going to be okay with you doing the right thing that reflects him well in the world that you live in. So if you're 51% sure, do it. If you're 51% sure, do it. Not 100% sure. Because I don't know anybody who's ever 100% sure about anything that's good, and then they do it, and it actually all works out. Like, nobody, it's just not the way this thing works. And so that's the first thing. If you're 51% sure, do it. The other thing is this. If you believe that God has spoken to you, and you're not 100% sure, again, one of the words that we use for one of the ways that we translate the word faith, the Greek word is pistis, and one of the translations is persuaded. I am persuaded. I have faith. I am persuaded. And so I think what we need to do is just, hey, remember how persuasion works. Persuasion is, well, I'm not fully convinced. I see both sides of it, right? I'm not going blindly into something, but this makes, I'm again, 51%. Not that I don't understand everything that's over here, and I understand some of the arguments on this side, but I'm persuaded. I'm 51% sure. And this is the way that we do this. When we talk about, let's say the weather, for example, and you say that it's partly cloudy. Now, are you focusing on the fact that it's partly cloudy or mostly sunny? Right? 49%, 51%. Well, it's partly cloudy, so I'm not going to do anything. That means it's also mostly sunny, so get your butt out there and do something and follow who it is that God has called you to be and what you believe that he's spoken to you. And if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. Like, God is not going to beat you up, and we're not going to beat you up for making a mistake when you think that you're following God and doing what it is that he asked you to do. Again, not doing things that are contrary to his nature. So that's the first part, is you heard me. The second thing is this, check up. How many of you have ever gone in for just your annual checkup or however often you go? I don't have a primary care physician. I don't go to the doctor. I'm just going to kill over one day and that's going to be it, right? It's going to be good. I'm going to go out like with guns and glory, right? Not guns, but that sounds strange, like a mutiny or something. It's not like that. I'm going to drive off a cliff. I told Shelly, I was like, look, if I start getting, this is too personal, but I'm going to go ahead and share it because I've opened this up. If I start getting like really, really sick and I have to depend on somebody else to change my diapers, when you get old, right, this stuff happens. You guys act like you have never heard this before in your life. I told Shelly, I was like, I might just disappear. And that's going to be the end of it. And we'll just leave it at that. So, sorry. If you've never been to Motion and you were expecting a polished pontificator, you came to the wrong place. So the point is, we go in at you're supposed to go in at various intervals for a checkup to get your heart checked on. So when it comes to spiritual heart health, you may be thinking, man, is there a metric? Is there a number? Is there a way to test the health of my heart? And there aren't specific numbers that we can look to, but there are certainly clear indicators that we can look to as to whether or not your heart is hearing the right things, thus your heart is healthy. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said this, and this is for all of you that think Jesus was a hippie. He started like this, you brood of vipers. In other words, you hatchlings of snakes, like that's what a brood is. It's a group. It's eggs that are all born together. You brood of vipers. He's just calling people snakes. Isn't that, I thought that was way cooler than you guys did. So again, talking to the Pharisees, hey, brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? Jesus was so nice. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure. The evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. So Jesus kind of made it very clear, right? If you want to know how you're doing in terms of heart health, if you want to know what's in your heart, see what's coming out of your mouth. Right? Did we all read the same verse? Because you guys did not act like that's what you read. It's like when you, for whatever reason, I imagined a toy box with a child. And so if the kid goes to the toy box and he brings out toys, nobody's surprised. Like there's toys in the toy box. And so in our treasure chest, in our hearts, it's either good things or bad things that come out. And what comes out is only determined by what goes in. Like it's a really, really simple equation. There are so many other verses in scripture that echo this sentiment, but Jesus hit the nail on the head. To determine the health of your heart, measure the quality of your words. To determine the health of your heart, measure the quality of your words. Are you constantly putting people down? Are you constantly being negative? Do you get... Now, here's the thing. Anger is not necessarily the problem. It's how you channel your anger. So when you're angry, do you lash out at people and you tell them all of the reasons that you're mad at them, right? So these are the way that we measure the quality of our words. If your words are bringing life, it says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so if your words are bringing life, then maybe your heart is full of the life that God has promised you, this abundant life that Jesus talks about. If you find ways to encourage people, if you find ways to be truthful and loving simultaneously, because Jesus said to speak, or it says in what is it, Galatians, to speak the truth in love, to speak the truth in love, right? If you find a way to do each of those simultaneously, then I think it's an indicator that your heart is healthy. If you have the ability to call out the good even when things aren't good, then maybe your heart is healthy. If you have the ability to look into a situation that's not great and say, even if it doesn't, I'm still gonna trust you, right? Man, you go back to the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms because the more that I've learned that most of the people, musicians are very crazy. Like they're emotional, visceral people. And so you find David, for example, who wrote so many of the songs, he was a mess, like an absolute destroyed mess. He was always in his feelings and he made so many mistakes, and it says that he was a man after God's own heart. And so when you read stuff like that I will bless the Lord at all times and his praise will continually be on my lips, and you know the circumstances in their life, you see that he can speak to the good even when the circumstances aren't good, right? If you can do those things, that was a good time for you to be like, mm-hmm, that's right, Pastor, but you didn't, so we're just going to move right along, right? So when you can do that, it's an indicator that your heart is healthy because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, on the other hand, get ready. If you constantly complain, do you know anybody like that? I'm going to give you a second to think about it. Go ahead and get a mental picture. If you need a mirror, get it out. If you constantly complain, if you bicker, you whine, and you nag, then your heart is not healthy. Like, it's that simple. If all you do is find the negative in every situation you face, if it's always partly cloudy and never mostly sunny, then your heart is not healthy. And you've probably been hearing the wrong things. If you find a way to only speak love or to only speak truth, then your heart is not healthy. Now, that may seem counterintuitive to you because, well, if I'm speaking love, isn't that a good thing? Because if you're loving and condoning at the same time, then you're not really loving, right? So it's speaking love and speaking truth all at the same time. And if you do that, if you find yourself capable of doing that, it's probably because your heart is healthy. If you can only talk about the bad things, even when there are good things to focus on. Have you ever met somebody like this? Like, I mean, so many good things going on in their life, and just one thing happens, and it's the only thing that they can focus on. It's the only thing that they talk about, and it's just drama, 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 drama for your mama, right? Never stops. If that's you, if that's how you talk, if those are the quality of your words, then I would be willing to bet that your heart is not healthy. And if your heart isn't healthy, that means you're not hearing the right things. And the cure to an unhealthy heart is to start hearing the right thing. What you're hearing may be hurting, right? What you're hearing may be hurting your pursuit of becoming the person that God wants you to be. What you're hearing may be keeping you from having this heart of faith that leans into God instead of kind of tunes out God. Now, here, let's talk about some solutions. Let's talk about some possible things that we can do to make sure that we have a heart that hears. That might mean that you need to turn off your radio. Don't be legalistic. Your cell phone, your XM radio, your podcast, whatever it is that you hear, right? Because everybody's like, well, I don't listen to the radio. I listen to my MP3 player. I listen to my Spotify. I listen to my Apple Music, right? You understand what I'm saying. The things that you're listening to, maybe you need to stop listening to if your heart isn't healthy. Maybe you need to stop listening to the news. Do you know what I've discovered about the news? And I'll be completely honest with you. Let me make a political statement real quick. I have listened to both sides of the aisle, and I think they're all lying, frankly, right? And more than that, I'm sure there are fantastic people on each side of the aisle, but this is what you find. They all hate each other, and there's so much vitriol and venom that's spewed at everyone, and they're so angry, and when you start to listen to it, you're going to find that you get angry. Your blood pressure starts to rise and you want to destroy a wall or build a wall and you don't even know what that means, right? We get so mad about things that we don't even control. And so maybe you need to turn that dial down just a little bit. You know what I've discovered? This is just me letting you know what's happened in my life. A few years ago, probably 5 years ago, I would say, I remember the kind of the height of some of the racial tension in the world, right? You had all of the riots in Baltimore, you had the Ferguson, Missouri, and just a lot of those things going on. Now, if you would have turned the radio on, I would have thought, or the news, TV, whatever, I would have thought that every black person hates every white person and every white person hates every black person. But when I lived my life, I had so many interactions. In fact, like, and just understand what I'm saying, most of the conversations I had on a regular basis were with black people, not white people. And I'm a white dude, if you can't tell. I've got a good tan, but it's not that good. And so it just kind of occurred to me on just this weird epiphany, I guess, that, man, we don't hate each other. Wow, maybe the news was wrong. Now, are there things that happen? Absolutely. Like, obviously, that's not to diminish the things that are going on in the world that we live in. But in a very general sense, like, we still love each other. We still have more in common than we have in difference. And so I just stopped listening to all of that stupidity. You need to stop listening to pundits and Stop listening to my microphone, too. Maybe you need to stop listening to pundits and politicians. I wasn't sure if you got that one. I like the P for alliteration. Maybe your circle. Y'all remember this? How many of you remember Altel? That would show your age just a little bit, right? So Altel was Verizon before it was Verizon. It was Altel. And so one of the things that they had, it was your circle. This is before unlimited calling and unlimited texting. And you got a certain number of minutes every month that you could talk to and to listen to someone. And so you could select up to 10 numbers to be in your circle, and it didn't count against your minutes. And so it was really important who was in your circle, because those are the people that you would be listening to. Maybe you need to kick some people out of your circle. Maybe you need to block somebody's number and not listen to that. Now, let me ask you a question. If you know that something is destructive, you know that it's keeping you from becoming the person that God wants you to be, why do you keep getting back on Facebook? I see people that do this all the time. Like, oh, I'm taking a break from social media because, you know, this and this and this and this. And I'm like, just stop. Like, first off, we don't need to know that. That should be a personal thing. So you're really just seeking attention by sharing that. But that's another story. So what you should really do, if it's affecting who you are, just turn it off. Like, just focus on listening to the right voice and stop listening to all of these other voices. Maybe that's not it at all. Maybe you're not hearing the wrong voices, but maybe you're hard of hearing. Hard of hearing. You guys, okay, y'all got it. You got it. There are times where it's not so much that we're hearing the wrong things, it's just we have a hard time hearing the right things because we're so busy. And we're so distracted, and we live in a world of shiny objects, and we live in a world of squeaky wheels that get the grease, they get our attention. And so you may be distracted, and that's why you can't hear the right things. Maybe it's your busyness that's keeping you from having a healthy heart because you're not hearing the right things. Something that we mentioned last week was being comfortable being alone. Remember how it says that Jesus often went up to the mountain alone to pray. And some people are so insecure that they could never be alone. And that's a heart issue, right? That's a problem with your heart. And then I think it also determines, or it's affected by the fact that so many of us, we have to be busy all of the time, or we feel like we're not doing anything with our life. We don't matter. We're not significant. We're not cool because we're not on Snapchat. We're not constantly taking freaking selfies. Golly. Right, we feel like we just don't fit in the world that we live in because we're not busy and distracted like everyone else. If you never disconnect, or at the very least turn the volume down, you're going to end up with a hard heart, because you're going to end up with a heart that's not hearing, not necessarily not hearing the right things, but there's so much stuff going on, so many other things going on, that the right things get drowned out by all of the noise. And so, look, let's be honest, this can be difficult, right? Because we are all busy. We all have responsibilities. You may be thinking to yourself, how in the world am I supposed to hear the right things when I have a screaming toddler? How am I supposed to hear the right things when I've got two phones? I've got a work phone and I've got a personal phone, and it just rings constantly, and I have to answer these calls because I've got a boss, or, you know, clients or employers or employees or whatever the case is. Like, look, we're all busy. We've all got responsibilities, but it is possible for every single person in this room to hear. But it's a choice that you make to listen. It's a choice that you choose to prioritize listening in your life. Maybe it means that you get up a little bit earlier. Ugh. I hate the sound of that. Now, on the other side, maybe it means you stay up a little bit later. Right? I don't mind that. Everybody else goes to bed, and I've got some me time, right? I got some time to turn all the stuff off, and I can just listen. So maybe you need to get up earlier. Maybe you need to stay up later. Maybe you need to put your phone down for just 30 minutes a day. Like, I'm convinced that if everyone did this, it would change our lives. It would change the world that we live in. It would change. We have this, it's called social atrophy, that we don't even know how to interact most of the time. We're so awkward because we don't do it enough. And so we now have atrophy of our social abilities. And so what you would find if you put your phone down for 30 minutes, maybe that you could actually listen to God and you could talk to other people too. It's a really cool thing that we could do. Maybe if you can't put it away, just put it on Do Not Disturb. or just throw it out the window. There are days where I'm just like, yes, I want to burn my phone and smash it into a million pieces, but we got to have it. Whatever you have to do, whatever you have to do above all else, block out the noise so that your heart can hear the right things, so that you can listen to the right voices. If you have a hard time hearing, then you're going to end up with a hard heart. But if we take some time, whatever that looks like for you, I'm not telling you, we're not robotic, we're not programmed. There's no system or formula that fits everybody, right? We're all unique, and that's awesome because that's how God made us. But you have to figure out what works for you, and you've got to turn some stuff down, turn some stuff off, and listen to the right voices. Allow God to speak the right things into your heart so that you can have a heart that's healthy. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for everything that you do, for your love for us. God, that your heart is for us, that the scripture talks about how you're a father that loves us, that cares for us, and that you demonstrated your love for us on the cross, that even while we were sinners, while we didn't deserve your love, that there is nothing on this earth that we could do that would earn it, you still gave it. And that's what love is. That's your heart for us. God, I pray that you would give us hearts that listen, not hearts that are distracted, that are busy, that hear the wrong things, but hearts that really lean into and listen to and respond to the things that you say, that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of your word. Jesus, help us to do this. It's only through your grace that we can. We need you desperately. We love you so much, and it's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody said, amen.